Hey, we're back here on the Eagle 104.3 FM. The number here, oh, you've already heard it, so I won't repeat it. Talking about the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, and we're going to read some really neat things. They sound really good. And you're going to say, well, what's the problem? If that thing sounds so good, how come you're whining about it? You know, what's, yeah, you agree with that. Well, I'll explain it in here in a second. I do want to remind you and tell your friends in Apalachicola that 1 p.m. tomorrow, yes, it's sad but true, take a late lunch, 1 p.m. tomorrow at Apalachicola Community Center on One Bay Drive, Apalachicola Community Center, One Bay Drive. They're having a discussion. The Public Service Commission is going to hear what you have to say and your challenges with regard to the rate increase of the request by Progress Energy of Florida. And they're requesting to spend your money so that they can spend it. That's really what they want to do, is spend your money. So I would encourage you guys to not just sit back and whine about it. Let's get up. Let's burn some calories. I'm burning calories. It'd be nice if you guys, everybody, if we'd all together burn calories the way we ought to, we can recover our liberty. It'll be for the sake of our children and our grandchildren. And, of course, they'll end up going to sleep on their watch, and their great-grandchildren will have to solve those problems. But when it all comes down to it on Judgment Day, we've got to be able to answer for our own behaviors. Yes, we shall. So here's the UN Rights of the Child. I'm going to read some really nice things. Oh, by the way, it made me think about referee. I said something about being a soccer referee. And I had a guy one day come across. He was a coach. And he didn't like the fact that I missed a call. I was waiting for his kids to make a score, and somebody had fouled one of his kids behind me, and I didn't see it. So, but for his sake, even if I had seen it, I would let the play go on until the ball came to a stop, because his kids had a chance to score. And of course, I could always come back and correct the error if there was a yellow card or something like that. But of course, I didn't see it. Well, the coach came out storming at me. Out, he actually came on the field with his fists clenched, leaning up, bowing his chest out. And of course, because that stuff doesn't scare me, I just, he doesn't know my background. So I said, that stuff didn't faze me at all. I'm thinking, hey, I might get the kid's college paid for here. If this guy punches me in the nose, we're going to hook him up. So, you know, I'm just standing there. And I found out later I was supposed to kick him out of the game. I listened to him and I explained to him, you know, I didn't see what you saw. I wish I had, but I didn't. Thank you for sharing that feedback. Well, it turns out I was supposed to, with good parenting, I'm supposed to kick him off the field and then make a report of his misdeed. Of course, I made a report. But so there's times in your parenting, whether it be in watching childish behaviors of 40-year-olds on the side of a soccer field, which may be you. I want you to encourage you to think about your behavior when you're out there at a soccer field or a baseball field or a football field or a basketball court or something like that. What kind of example are you setting for your and other children by your behavior? I just want to ask you to consider that sometime. But there are certain things you have to do as a parent, and you have to remove yourself from the passion of it and just do the right thing. God has given us that responsibility. He's built into us a natural desire to bring up our children in the way they should go and prepare them for their station in life. Who should it be that is deciding what the standard should be? I think it's God's standards. That's my perspective. And I think I have a constitutional, there are some constitutional protections with maybe with regard to religion, maybe some protections in the law, some hint at it. But really, our rights come from Almighty God. So if somebody hadn't written it out in the law, what our rights are, well, they're still there. Let's see what the United Nations says. They are convinced that the family is a fundamental group of society, and the natural environment for the growth and well-being of all its members, and particularly children, should be afforded the necessary protection and assistance. That means state intervention is what that implies, so that it can fully assume its responsibilities within the community. Is that, see again, the state, it's none of your business whether a family assumes its responsibilities within their community. That is an exercise of love. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. You don't perform acts of love with state intervention. So again, what's the UN reference? Themselves. And they don't understand their limits. They go on to say, recognizing that the child, for the full and harmonious development of his or her personality, should grow up in a family environment and an atmosphere of happiness, love, and understanding. Huh. Well, sometimes I don't understand why my children do what they do, except that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. So, you know, sometimes, and love, and because I love my children, I correct them. And ultimately, happiness will be attained by, you know, the best you can. It's a pursuit of happiness, not really the attaining it. Considering that the child should be fully prepared to live in an individual life in society. So we have an oxymoron there, an individual life in society. The child, there's no requirement that a child live in society. If my son wants to go off to the Himalayas and have no society but himself, that's his prerogative. So what's happening is they're worshiping society. Let us make bricks, and let's make these bricks and build us a tower unto heaven. And so that's sort of what this UN thing's doing. I mean, it's kind of a, hey, let's get together. We didn't get elected, and we wish we could run for president, but we can't. But in the meantime, let's meet together and come up with some really neat things and have everybody come sign this UN convention and basically usurp the natural and orderly operations of governments, of nations within their jurisdictional boundaries, and we're basically going to trump the planet. So this has been going on for a long time, and UN has just really found a neat, artful way to do this. Now watch this. It says, considering that a child should be fully prepared to live in an individual life in society. And Blackstone said that we have an obligation to raise up our children to their station in life. That's under the common law. Not in society, in life. What is God's intention for that child? And as a homeschool parent, you know what we do? We don't have cookie-cutter children. We don't have our children fit into a mold. What we do is we find out what their bent is, and we fulfill our responsibilities as parents to bring them up in the way, in the fear and admonition of the Lord, not as a member of society. Of course, they're going to fit into society. They're going to have their part. They're going to be salt and light to the society, but we're trying to not get them to conform to societal norms. We're trying to bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and I think what's going to happen is they're going to affect society to the positive. So these are the differences between a United Nations vision. Now watch what they say. The United Nations Charter here, this declaration or this convention on the rights of the child says that they believe that the child should be brought up, listen, in the spirit of the ideals proclaimed in the Charter of the United Nations. In the spirit of the ideals, what happens if they change their proclamation next week? So the goal here is to make everybody conform to the United Nations norm. That's essentially what, if you connect the dots, what it's saying. Of course, it says, and in a particular, the spirit of peace, dignity, tolerance, freedom, equality, and solidarity. So if that's true, if I appear to teach my children something that may seem intolerant, like I say, children, you're going to abstain from certain behaviors prior to marriage. And then once you get married, you're going to be true to that person you married for life. That's going to make you actually behave rightly. If you know you're going to have to be with them, rejoice in the wife of your youth. That is what I'm going to train my sons to. Rejoice in the wife of your youth and to be fully committed to them in the covenant of marriage forever, because that's God's plan from the beginning. And you know what? If they know that that's their obligation and they conform to that norm, I'm telling you what, they're going to reap some happiness out of that. If we can get both sides to agree to that and behave accordingly, I'm telling you, it's really a blessing. My wife and I are coming up on our 25th anniversary here this December. Our number here is 888-850-1872. It's 888-850-1872. You know what I don't claim? I don't claim my UN rights of the individual that they've proclaimed here, this right to happiness, love, and understanding. I don't do that. What I claim is my responsibility before Almighty God, to love God, love my neighbor as myself. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So that's to the point of death. There's a whole lot of happiness and understanding that I've got to give up sometimes under the biblical perspective of what our goals are supposed to be. So the biblical perspective, which I try to bring up on the show, is a constitutional perspective, the biblical perspective, the basis of right versus wrong. It's at odds with United Nations. And a lot of people don't think that's true. I mean, they kind of see, oh, these kind of nice statements. It's sort of biblical. Oh, is it? Oh, is it? What is the ultimate reference? So I challenge people here on the show on the Eagle 104.3 FM. I am going to bring up these issues. And today I'm bringing up this United Nations Charter because it's coming to an intervention of the life near you. That's what it's going to do. This United Nations Convention on the Rights of a Child is coming to a bureaucratic intervention on a life near you. Eventually, this might show up and you're going to go, naturally, if somebody's in intrude on your rights with regard to this UN convention, you're naturally going to go, hey, something's rotten about this. Something just doesn't seem right. But I just can't put my finger on it. Maybe I'm just being rebellious. No, it's because it has a fundamental reference problem. Here's something else that I highlighted out of this UN Convention on the Rights of a Child. The child, by reason of his physical and mental immaturity, needs special safeguards and care, including appropriate legal protection before as well as after birth. Well, I would love that. I would love that if they would actually put some teeth to that, huh? And make sure you don't murder people in the womb. That would be really nice. That would be just really nice. It says, well, let me go back to what it just said. I'm going to try that again. The child, by reason of his physical and mental immaturity, needs special safeguards and care. Let me see if there's a biblical approach on that. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Does this seem overly extreme to you? He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him when? Promptly. And I say, and that sounds pretty extreme, but it doesn't mean you're going to get a big old bamboo rod and whack the kid upside the back across his ribs. I mean, that's just wicked. It's get a clue. If you don't, if you're an evil man, you'll do that kind of stuff. That's insane. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to beat people up. But there's a difference between that and corporal punishment, which would be a nice, flat, lightweight, wide, and but not thick, something that will smack a Rumpelstiltskin one time and say, whoop, there you go. That's what we get. That's when you cross this threshold. And until you get to the point where you start being able to be dealt with rationally, you're pushing this to this threshold. That's called corporal punishment. It's got to be done on it's just like anything. There are certain cases you put somebody in jail. There are certain cases where you have capital punishment. There are certain thresholds with regard to correction, whether it's in the civil world or the criminal world or in the world of the household, where somebody is fighting against correction. Because even the UN would admit, and even admits here, that the child, by the reason of his physical and mental immaturity, the Bible would call it foolishness, it's bound in the heart of a child. Physical and mental immaturity needs special safeguards and care and guidance. Recalling the provisions of the Declaration on Social and Legal Principles related to protection and welfare of children, with special reference to foster placement and adoption nationally and internationally. Now that's what gets weird. So you say these are really neat things that the UN Declaration of the Rights of the Child is saying. The problem is, folks, we're going to be taking a call here shortly. We're going to have to take a break, so just hang on, caller. But the point is here is there's a point which you might just take this statist view that the state has this obligation, a compelling interest to intervene on your behalf and get in there and interfere with your life. And they think they're doing a good deed because they don't have necessarily the reference that would keep them accountable to what is right and what is wrong. Hey, come back. We're going to listen. Keep tuning in. The Eagle 104.3 FM. Our number here is 888-850-1872.